Welcome. This is Why Life Is. I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And tonight we got another show dealing with the metaphysics of sleep and dreams. And, of course, we always deal with spirituality and science, kind of melting them together, or melding them together. I guess that would be the correct word. And making it so that you hopefully will better understand, at least from my understanding, what we're dealing with in terms of the subject area. If you would like to call in, please do, 877-876-5227, if you're in the U.S. And for those of you in Canada, try 888-815-9756. I did quite a bit of talking in the last few days, so I may be just a little bit hoarse and some other things. Also, quite a bit of walking, I might say, as well. So, that being the case, let's get going. And let me tell you what I mean by the metaphysics of sleeping dreams. Most people, and I'm not talking just the average person on the street, but most people even who study sleep and are into science and into trying to understand the nature of what sleep is, if you were to ask them, why do we sleep? They can't give you a very good answer. And the reason for that is because most of the answer is metaphysical. It is not based upon purely biological science. A lot of people say, well, you sleep because you get tired, and I guess your body needs to get rejuvenated or something, or something happens, and you fall asleep, and then when you wake up, you feel better. Well, that's kind of true, but it doesn't exactly explain why. It just explains what's going on. I mean, why would be a much more comprehensive understanding of the subject, as it usually is, because it involves the concepts. And if you have whole enough concepts, then you have more consciousness, more understanding about the situation. So hopefully I will help to develop that this evening. And I will continue with this various subject, but I want to define for, as I usually do, I want to define what sleep and dreams really mean in terms of my understanding. So when I talk about sleep, I'm talking about a state in which the normal consciousness of a person, the waking consciousness, the normal consciousness, is no longer available. And during that period of time that that is taking place, new things are going on within the subconscious part of a person and within the body. Now, this is also true of animals, and I will get to that part of it. But still, I'm not talking about sleep being a condition where certain alpha waves are not present or are present, but then the beta waves aren't. That's one way to define it, but it doesn't really get to, again, explain anything. I mean, I could say that to you, but you would say, so what? Hopefully you're not saying so what right now. What about dreams? How would I define dreams? Dreams are a way for the, we'll say, the mind to use the brain or brains of a body so that it can organize those things that it wants to keep in terms of energy from information and get rid of those things it thinks are a waste of space and time in the brain. Now you might say, well, how do you know that? And I could say, because when we're not sleeping, we're doing that all the time, believe it or not, on a regular basis. And this is what happens. If, let's say you're walking across the street, okay, and you're busy looking at whether or not cars are coming and whether you can get across in the time you have, et cetera. You're focused on that. But there's a whole bunch of other things going on around you that you're not focused on. And you're doing this on an awakening conscious basis. You're rejecting maybe the people that are passing you by, maybe cars that are not within the area that you might get hit by or whatever. And maybe you're not even looking at all kinds of other events that are taking place on the sidewalk and in various people's cars who may be having conversations or whatever. as they go by you. So you're not, you're rejecting that. You're deciding that that information is not valuable. And it takes up room. It takes up time in terms of your ability to access information and to create knowledge on it. You don't want to waste your efforts on that stuff. So it's just rejected. Literally. Out of the brain. Gone. Now, some of this is not 100% efficient. During our day, if we're self-focused, we tend to keep a lot of extraneous information that we should be rejecting. But because the focus of our attention, instead of being out to serve others and to do things that are creative, like, and co-create with our creator, God, we instead choose to focus on ourselves. You say, well, I like focusing on myself. It makes me feel good. Well, it might, at least temporarily. Here's the problem. While you're focusing on yourself, energy is following thought greater than its own. And guess what? Your thought most of the time is greater than the thought of energy. Energy is really not very much of a thinker. And so, ultimately, that energy is getting stuck. It's getting stuck inside the senses, which are sometimes called chakras or centers. And it's getting stuck inside the brain. I mean, literally, tons of information. Because people are self-focused, are getting stuck in our brains every day. And because the brain is trying to accumulate this information to develop knowledge out of it as a resource, but it needs something to lead it, and that's called the self, which is the real mind of us. Everybody thinks the brain is a mind. It's really not. It's a device. It's a nice device. It's not good not to have a brain, believe me. But it's great in the sense that it does what it's supposed to do, but it doesn't think. The thinker is a metaphysical, spiritual part of us. The brain is a device, and there are several of them, believe it or not. There's a physical brain. There's an etheric part or electromagnetic part of the physical part of the brain. There's also an astral brain, a mental brain. At a minimum, that's what every human being has. And so those brains are doing something that is more mechanical but very important, and they're saving extraneous sometimes information that is becoming knowledge if it's focused on by ourselves. But sometimes it's not even becoming knowledge. Sometimes it's laying around information because too much of our focus is on ourselves, not enough is focusing out to be of service to everybody else and be co-creative and be purposeful because we don't do that all the time. And that gets things stuck. Okay. And I'm telling you, this is going on all the time. The problem is this. How do you get rid of it? Okay. It's going on all the time. But if that were true, then we would be just filled with this stuff, and our brain would eventually stop working. The machine that we use so often is going to fall apart. It's being overused, and it's being clogged up with energy. Well, the good news is that's what sleep in part is for. That's right. And especially that's what dreams are for. Well, see how I got you around to the subject, see? I just thought I wasn't going to get there. No, I did. No, I really intended to get there all along, believe me. Okay. So, sleep in part. Remember what I was saying in part, because I'm going to explain other parts about sleep besides what I've just talked about. But still, I'm trying to get us there, right? Sleep is critical because you can't get rid of this energy as long as the part of us, which I'm going to call the personality, is focused on ourselves because it won't let go of it. Even when it gets exhausted, until it goes away, we got a problem. The energy won't go. So we got a little device, and it's called sleep. When we go to sleep, we lose not only the conscious part of ourselves, which we call ourself. That's the part that knows who it is and what it's doing and why it's doing, maybe, sometimes with some people. And then there's the subconscious part, which I call the personality. You can call it something else if you'd like. But it's designed to be in control, designed to keep us alive, and has a lot of functions. And it interrelates with the self, Sometimes it allows itself to go on and do its stuff, and sometimes it says, you know what, subconsciously I think about control things here. But it also tends to make us selfish, meaning that the self is focused too much on us and not enough out on others, and that causes this energy buildup inside our bodies and eventually in our brains. Now we got a problem, because as long as the personality is kind of nudging the self to look in, hey, it's all about us. Let's be in control. Hey, let's us have and get what we want that makes us feel good. That's what the personality kind of studies a message. The personality is like a child. Honestly, the best way to describe it is a child, and sometimes not a very well-behaved one. But that's what kind of the way it is. It isn't something that's super developed. It's made to keep us going. And it's particularly strong when we are young. We learn to become something greater than it. Some of us do, as we grow in wisdom and age. Sometimes one or the other. Okay, so in order for us to get rid of some of the energy that is clogging us, we've got to get rid of the conscious part of us. And beyond that, we even have to somewhat disintegrate that personality part that is so much wanting to control things. Good news. Guess what sleep does? When we go to sleep, the personality says, hey, you know what? I'm getting really tired. I don't want to control anything anymore. I just want to relax, kick back, forget about everything. You know, this has been a very tough day. And the self says pretty much, well, you know, I've been creating things on and off during the day. I've been reading. I've been doing this. Now I think I'm going to go with the personality. Okay, so what happens is when we go to sleep, we actually lose our sense of self and, for sure, some part of our subconscious. We actually lose it. And that allows the most important thing to take place, the release of energy. Now, you could say, well, okay, then what is going on after you fall asleep? What are all these dreams? The average person dreams about 100 dreams a night. You could say, oh, that's nonsense. I can remember maybe one or two, three at most. Well, I'm not talking about you remember 100 dreams. I'm saying that you do dream 100 dreams. And this has been proven by using EEGs, which is a way of measuring what's going on in people's brains. And we can determine, to some extent, when a person is dreaming through a thing called rapid eye movement, REM. And combining these sciences, it's possible to determine when a person is dreaming and for how long. And it has come up, I don't know, shouldn't we dream about 100 dreams a night? It's remarkable because we don't remember most of them, and there's a reason for that. In order to remember a dream, you have to have some level of personality on a subconscious level, and to fully remember a dream, you have to have some level, and be even cognizant that you are dreaming when you're dreaming, you have to have some level of self. That's real rare, by the way. Those kinds of dreams, the lucid dreams, are rare. You don't see them very often. You don't have them very often. Okay. Let's get back to the whole story here. So we're talking about sleep and dreams. What does this mean? Okay. We've got to release some energy, or we've got a problem. The brain gets clogged up. All kinds of crazy things take place. In the physical brain, you start becoming clumsy if you don't sleep and dream. I'm going to explain more about it in a minute, but I just want to go through what happens if we don't do it. If we don't sleep and dream, we get clumsy. We get to the point where we're going to make terrible eye-hand coordination problems. We're going to make terrible, we won't be able to coordinate our activities in any intelligent way. We lose the thing that gives us a sense of our environment correctly and our way to interact. And that's bad news. So we have to sleep or we get into these problems. People call them accidents or, you know, but mishaps. But they're really related to the clogging problem. That's just for the physical, and, well, I'll call it the electromagnetic and physical brain. There's an electromagnetic counterpart or etheric counterpart to that. Now, what about the astral brain? Well, the same thing. You don't release the energy in the astral brain even though most of us don't know we even have an astral body, but we do. It's connected to us, and we have the same kinds of senses and centers in it, but they feel different things. They feel astral energy. Astral energy are what we call emotions and love. And they get, the astral brain gets clogged up, too, during the day as we focus too much on ourselves. We don't have enough empathy for other people. And so what happens is then we have an incredible emotional response to the things around us. Rather than being able to sense our feelings, we just react from them. Well, that's not good. Reaction without sense is a very bad thing. And so we have a kind of a debacle going on in our astral body if we don't sleep, and especially if we don't dream. What about the manasic or mental body? Yeah, that too. Most people say, well, what the heck is that like? Well, that has to do with the ability to understand our and other people's thoughts, sense them, be able to sense what thought is. If you say, well, isn't thought what you think? Yeah, but how do you understand other people's thought? You ever thought about that? That's kind of a little pun there. You understand other people's thought by sensing, believe it or not, by sensing, just the way you sense a glass in front of you, or you sense the chair you're sitting in. Same thing. That's how you do it. But it's a lot different because in this case, you're sensing the thought of the glass and what you might be doing with it and the concepts behind it rather than the glass itself. You didn't know that. Okay. So, again, if you're focused on yourself, you become egotistical. And if you're egotistical, you're not hearing the thoughts of people around you, but then your mental body gets clogged up. And what happens then? Retained energy in the mental body causes you to lose track of time, because time is the full dimension of the mental world. You'll get almost impossible to keep time or use time correctly. You become non-creative in that way. And worse, possibly, is that your lack of understanding of thought, your own and other people's, causes you to make huge errors in judgment, make very unwise thinking choices. So that is not a good thing. All this comes from not sleeping and especially not dreaming. Wow. You never knew, right? And this is the metaphysics of sleep and dreams. Again, different than what if you go look in a lot of books and medicine and biology, you don't really get the full gist of this. A little piece of it, yes, there's somewhat pieces of it. Not enough to explain why. And that's what I'm trying to help tonight, hopefully. All right, so let's continue on. What then does this mean? If we're going to really understand sleep and dreams, we have to understand how we can improve it, how we can change it, and where it plays such a crucial role in the life, not just of human beings, but just about everything. Just about everything has to have this capability. Now, there are some exceptions, and the exceptions are in those life forms that are so either imperceptive or so, by their own survival, need to be totally open to everything, just collect all the information they can possibly get because they have very little ability usually to think. They don't need to sleep. They're rare, but they don't need it. Especially if you go below a certain level in the animal kingdom, and if you reach the, as you all call it, the plant kingdom. Now, the sleep, although many plants actually have go through a sleep cycle, we don't know that yet, but some don't. And so that's a point to be made. Minerals, well, the minerals don't need to sleep because they don't have a level of consciousness that in any way connects to anything dealing with what we're talking about. There's no self structure in there. Certainly isn't a personality. So we don't have to be concerned about those. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't think about them. I mean, I would, mention that just so that we're including everything we can think of. Okay, so getting back to the issue. We got it, a reason for sleep. We got an even greater reason for dreaming, because dreaming is the way that the energy gets released. It is the means. Sleep is a process. But dreams are specifically the means. If something doesn't dream, it won't be able to release the energy, because the energy itself is part of what makes up the dream. And you can say, does that mean animals dream? Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a fascinating process. Now you can say, well, how self-focused are animals? Well, interestingly, animals are not as self-focused as human beings on an average. And so their dreams sometimes are not as crucial. They don't have to dream as much. And some animals, especially the higher ones, instead of dreaming, actually are experiencing life in the astral world. They're not dreaming. They may go in and out of a dream, but in between they're actually experiencing some real activities. They're astral traveling. Especially when you see a dog or a cat moving its paws like it's running and stuff while it's sleeping, many of those times it's not actually dreaming per se. It's actually having an astral out-of-body experience. But that's for another time, I guess. But I find that fascinating. I would love to talk about that, but that would get us all into out-of-body stuff. And I guess it wouldn't be for today's show. Okay, so if a person dreams, they're releasing energies that they need to release, otherwise they're going to have these tremendous problems, including emotional problems, mental problems, physical problems. We're talking about, and that's it, and some of the physical problems, eventually, if you have protracted lack of sleep, physical problems can become life-threatening. You can develop serious illnesses or become so unaware of your surroundings, you might fall down a flight of stairs, break your neck or something. I mean, drive your car into, off a cliff. Anything could happen because the senses are so damaged, and also the internal organs start not working right because they're connected to the chakras, which they have sense. And when those things aren't working properly, when the chakras aren't working properly, the organs start to fail, and they get ill. And it brings in illnesses. It allows outside entities like viruses, bacteria, fungus, to come in and say, hey, we're moving in. Because if you're not going to use your body right, we'll take it over. And they do it. So, and all this comes from not having proper sleep and dreams. So how important is it to do those things? Yeah, pretty darn important. How much do we need? You need as much sleep and dreams as you retain in energy each day. That's an absolute minimum. If you don't get enough, you're on a declining balance. It will cause an increase in aging as well. Very important. The more selfish you are, the more you got to sleep. That sounds a little strange, because I know some people who are very selfish who don't sleep much at all. Well, guess what? They're burning it up fast, and they're going to be in big trouble. There's no question about it. All right. Then how do we get to the point where we're going to make a change, do something to improve the situation? Well, the first thing is to recognize that there is a direct relationship between health and sleep and dreams, between the ability to spiritually serve, to create in one's life in ways that are positive and helpful, to make fewer mistakes, to understand greater, which is raise your consciousness, and to even be able to interact with others in some, I'll say, meaningful way. All that requires that the sleeping and dreaming be at least in quantity, at a minimum. Well, I'm going to get into quality after the break, but in terms of quantity, there is a minimum, and it has to balance out. Now you might ask, well, what about people who really are focused out? Do they need to sleep then? They need to sleep less in most circumstances. It depends on the nature of how they're serving. If someone is serving using up incredible amounts of their resources. They're going to the maximum in terms of responsibilities. They actually may need more sleep. You might say, well, how come? Because if their service is focused out, then there's not a problem, right? Well, I said that was one of the reasons for sleeping. There's another big reason for sleeping, and that's why I'm going to mention it now, and then when we come back from break, I'll explain it. And that is, our bodies are really not us. Yep, that's true. They're not us. They're composed of energy, and the energy comes from a kingdom different than the human kingdom. We're kind of borrowing it. I would say, look, we need bodies and senses because we need to be able for us, our spirit, to have interaction with other spirit. So please, Mr. Energy, so to speak, or Mrs. Energy, we would like to use you for a while. But in such use, if we're going to use you a great deal, we need to allow you to have time off. And even if we only use you a moderate amount, there has to be regular time off. The time off is so that the energy that is within us can kind of do its own thing. It has to learn itself how to be creative within its own very limited aspects of we'll call it consciousness. And this is something most people know very little about, that actually that is an amazing element to who we are. We are kind of like symbiotic beings. We're kind of, we're spirit, but we're also matter and energy. Matter if it's dense physical, and energy if it isn't, but it's still all the same thing. It's just stuff we call energy. And we have to be very cognizant that this energy has an opportunity to recover and to be on its own a certain amount of time. Now, in general, that amount of time is about a third of each day, 8 hours or so. In general, there is no absolutes, but it is like that in general. So it is something to consider when we are approaching this question of sleep and dreams. And if you didn't know this before, it might be something to ponder, which hopefully the next 2.5 minutes or so you're going to do, because we're going to be going to break. So when we come back, I want to go, this is the areas I want to cover. I want to go over how energy plays into this situation, and the last thing I just talked about, more intricate details about it, and how that interconnects with the spirit part of us, and how we have to work together, and then how we can improve our sleep and dreams in both quality as well as quantity, because we haven't dealt with that. Quality is a really important part of the whole process. Some people can sleep, but they don't get much out of it. And that's a big factor. So I'm going to describe what we can do. It's sort of like a sort of self-help on improving sleep tonight. Okay, we're going to be back in about 2.5 minutes from right now.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hon, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. McFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
We're back. This is Why Life Is. I'm your host, Niles McFlower. Tonight we're talking about the metaphysics of sleep and dreams. I hope I'm not putting you to sleep yet. You got to stay up. Stay up with the show. Okay, here we go. So before we went to break, I probably confused some people. Yeah, we are composed of energy. Some of it is matter if it's dense enough. And this energy is a deal we're making. Our spirit is making a deal with this energy, which is on a totally different kind of plan of development. And what we're doing is we're trying to use this energy so we can have interaction with other spirit in realms where spirit cannot directly communicate with spirit, which is right here where we are. And actually, all the dimensions of time and space that humans live in require that we use a vehicle of energy. And so it is, since it's required, I mean, that's what God's plan is. We are going to help to develop this energy, whether subconsciously or as I hope I'm making it right now, consciously, for those of you who are listening, because what this means is that each of us has a responsibility to the energy in our bodies to treat it in a way that will help it to develop and help it to stay in good order while we use it to interact with other spirits around us. I think it's a beautiful system. It makes me smile to even think about it. But at any rate, as far as sleep and dreams is concerned, again, going back to the last segment, if we don't get enough sleep, and if we don't dream enough to get rid of some of the energy we're retaining, because we are self-focused after all, we're human beings, it's the nature of us, then the results are that we're damaging this energy. And it screws it up as much as it screws us up. So it's a bad deal. Okay, so if we really recognize what we're doing, then we can improve upon the entire circumstance considerably. And hopefully what I'm going to suggest right now will be some improvement. The first thing is to realize that sleep is not just a quantity issue. It is a quality issue. And maybe the quality might be more important than the quantity. Let me explain what the quality of sleep is. The quality of sleep is that when the personality lets go of the use of the bodies, it does so in a way which is relaxed and without constant interjection or possible, we'll say, interference. And what causes interference are the following things. If you go to sleep at night, and everybody's done this, I know, I've done it. If you go to sleep at night and you do not permit a body, and it needs to be all three bodies if you're going to sleep truly, to relax and to allow the consciousness of that body to actually move on to a different dimension, into a different body, then you got a problem. I'll give you a direct example of this so that you understand what I'm saying, because I just said it conceptually, which may not make sense to some people. And that is, let's say you're laying in bed at night, and you say, or during the day, if you sleep during the day, and you say, you know, I'm going to go to sleep now because that guy Niles on the radio said it's a good thing to do. Or maybe I'm going to go to sleep because I'm tired. And then as soon as you lay down, you start counting all the things you didn't do that day, and then you go into intricacies about each one of those things and the problems you're having here and there and why this person didn't say the right thing to you and that person doesn't like you or you don't like them. And it goes on and on. You know what you're doing? The first thing is you're using your mental body to understand your thought and the thought of others. That means your personality is activating the centers in your mental body. And guess what? The mental body is not truly going to go to sleep. Even if you happen to get to sleep, the personality is not going to be fully dissolved. And it will act as an interference. And the consequences of that are that a lot of the energy that's in the mental body won't leave. Let's go on further. Let's say while you're doing this, you get some feelings going, some emotions going. Emotions are feelings directed towards yourself while you're thinking about the person who didn't like you. You say, oh, there's someone like that. I really hate them. And you get feelings of anger and hatred while you're thinking about it, right? Now what are you doing? Oh, now you're contaminating your astral body. And even if you manage to fall asleep, while you sleep, there's going to be the personality is going to bob its head and come up and down. Your sleeping is going to be disturbed. You're going to wake up maybe an hour or two later. So why did I awaken? Well, because when you went to sleep, you didn't go to sleep right. And that's what caused you to wake up. You did it. I didn't. And so that's the problem. Now, how many of you do that? Oh, I can hear you already. Everybody out there is saying, hey, I'll do that. Okay. Now you're understanding quality of sleep is a responsibility that spirit is in control of. Because energy follows thought. And spirit has stronger thought than the energy in our bodies in most circumstances. So, guess what? It's us. It's always us. Okay. What about the physical body? Okay. While you're getting on about how you like this person, you have feelings about it, and how you're thinking about all the things that happened, et cetera, your physical body starts to tighten and twitch, and you're moving your foot this way and that way, and you can't seem to, and then you're tossing your root. Your physical body's not relaxed. And so now you've just screwed up all your sleep for the night. You may fall asleep. You may eventually, because you just get so exhausted. But the point is that you're going to wake up time and again. You're going to feel like you didn't sleep well. And then I'm going to get into the dream part in a minute, but ultimately, this is a bad news situation. And who's controlling it? We are. What do I suggest? Constructive fantasies. Make yourself think of something that does not produce the following conditions. It doesn't produce any type of lower mental thought. It doesn't produce any kind of emotionality, and it doesn't produce any kind of tension in the physical body. You can still have thoughts. You can have a fantasy, but it doesn't produce those things that I just described. And there's zillions of them, because they're infinite, that you can think of that don't produce those things. You just have to be somewhat disciplined to not allow your mind to go back, you know, to, oh, I do it for 5 minutes. If I don't fall asleep, I'm going to go back and worry about everything that happened during the day. No, that is not going to solve the problem, because you have to do it until you fall asleep, and then it's not going to be a problem, you see. Okay. So I'm describing why most people really have trouble with their sleep, aren't I? And I'm describing how to solve it, too. Now, if you don't fully understand a constructive fantasy, let me try to, again, give you an example, because I realize these concepts may not define for everybody what I'm talking about. And so if you're lying in bed and you're saying, oh, well, here I am, I'm in the bed, you know, and you want to try to go to sleep. You don't want to sleep. You don't want to deal with anything that is lower thought, which means that you're having examples of concepts constantly going through your head. Instead, the fantasy should involve the concept. And not get into the details about it. Oh, let's say you have a fantasy. Gee, it'd be nice to be in a warm tropical island. And it's the evening and the sun is setting. Now don't go to sleep on me now while I do this. I don't want to lose my audience here. And the sun is setting, a warm breeze is floating over you. And as as I see this island, around me are beautiful flowers and trees, and just, but don't go into the detail of the types of trees and how many needles there are, or how many palm leaves. Don't do anything like that, because that's lower thought. You just have the general concept. You can see it in your, you use your creative imagination. You can see it there. And that's the sort of creative fantasy you can use. And it should always produce feelings in the astral body of love and giving to others. So make it that while you're there, wonderful things are going on around you, and you have plans of the next day after you've rested at the beach of the island to go out and be a much better person than you've ever been, help others to do more giving themselves, so you're serving as a soul, greater people will come in. You see all this happening. That's a wonderful thing. That'll work. And while you're doing this, also attempt to keep your body, in a physical body, in a position in which it is relaxed. If you do all these things, but you're standing on one foot with your arm in a sling or something, that isn't going to work. You every part of the system has to be working in a way that is consistent with relaxation rather than tension. Okay, so that's part of the process. It does take some discipline to do this. Many people are, unfortunately, conditioning themselves, or have conditioned themselves, to create very fitful sleep. And once you get into that habit, it's hard to get out of it. So you gotta make a choice to make a change. Alright, now let's get to the dream part, because I don't want to run out of time here. The dreaming part is really critical, because we don't want to interfere with the dreams. But we don't want to have nightmares in which we've created so much negative energy in our system, and so many potential outbursts of it, that literally it comes out as a negative kind of expression. The tension in the energy itself can do this. You can even get possessed by others who will participate in it in the lower astral world, which is never a great thing to have. Now, there's different kinds of dreams. There are dreams that are purely etheric. That means our consciousness is still in our etheric body for a brief time after we sleep. And during that time, we can stimulate energy that will become effectively a dream. Before we dream, though, we will usually leave that body, but sometimes not. And the results are we have sporadic kinds of thoughts that came from our physical activities during the day. Not our emotional and not our mental, but our physical. And those things just pop into our head. Usually they don't make much sense, because it could be three or four activities that have no connection with each other because they were minutes or hours apart. So etheric dreams are very disjointed. But we still feel some of the activity in the process, and we can see images of us doing these things. There's not much thought about them, and there's certainly not much astral emotion about them. Those are the fleeting kinds of things that usually happens when we first fall asleep, and we're moving back into the etheric body from usually the astral, but sometimes the mental body. And that's when you get these kind of etheric dreams. Now, what about astral dreams? Well, astral dreams happen when we have a lot of astral energy going on. And during that time, the energy is released, and it usually has to do with desires. We dream about those things that have been self-focused desires during the day. They are more critical, by far more cohesive than the etheric dreams. And they somewhat make sense, but they don't make a lot of sense. I mean, they somewhat make sense. And they involve releasing emotions. It could be emotions of fear or anger. It could be emotions of sexual excitement. It could be emotions of having fun. And doing various things that we either want to do or have been doing, we wanted to continue. Whatever it is self-focused. It's something we want for ourselves. And the dream is centered around that. It's a way of releasing the energy. The energy is is part of our senses that got blocked, clogged in our astral brain, and is now we gotta get rid of it so we can think correctly. And astral thought is a creative imagination, so we can create imaginatively correctly instead of having all this other stuff clogging us up. Okay? So, that's an astral trip. And we need to allow that to take place, even though some people say, oh, I think it's a waste of time dreaming. Well, not really, because you're going to be sleeping anyway. And you don't want to stop it because you could become emotionally ill if you were to not allow yourself to release this astral energy. Okay, what about the mental energy? Well, mental dreams are a little different, than astral dreams. They don't involve desires. They involve thoughts. They involve our lower and sometimes incomplete conceptual thoughts about various areas that we have come in contact with. Oftentimes, areas where we didn't listen to the thought of others. I say listen. We didn't think along the thought of others. And we didn't completely investigate the wholeness of our own thought. So our judgment may be impaired, and our concepts may be incomplete. And our dreams are about that, mentally. The incompleteness of our thought is represented in our mental dreams. They repeat themselves over and over again, trying to make them more complete and more whole, improving our judgment in the process. You didn't know that? Yeah. Sometimes mental dreams can repeat themselves dozens of times. Now, the chances of remembering a mental dream are slim, and if you remember more than one rendition of them, it's very unusual. But some people do. Some people remember dreaming something 3, 4, 5, 10 times when they really probably dreamt it 20 times, but it doesn't matter. They remember the over and over again. Those almost always are mental dreams. And again, they don't have the desire element as much as they have the thought element in them. If we're going to improve our dreams, we need to, first of all, try to improve our life. Because the improvement in dreams, so we don't have nightmares, so we don't have dreams that really aren't doing the job for us, is to make it so that we live our lives in ways in which, while we're fully conscious in ourself, we are doing a good job in focusing the energies around us out as much as we can. That doesn't mean we're going to do perfect, so we're still going to retain some energy. But then when we go to sleep, our dreams will be helpful. They won't turn into nightmares. They won't awaken us suddenly. They won't, if they're mental dreams, they will be mental dreams that make us, at the end of the mental dreaming cycle, greater in our ability to be open-minded and have better judgment and greater wisdom. That's what happens if we are, while we're awake, doing things to improve that. One of the elements that I suggest, and this is in a number of other sources as well, is that before going to sleep, do an accounting of the day. That's a good time to do it. Where did I screw up? Where could I have been more co-creative with God and been creating more virtue in my life? Where did I not really hear what people were saying? When was it that I was being very desirous of feeling a certain thing instead of trying to be empathic to others and loving towards them? When was I not cooperative in sharing? How was I not intelligently active in my day? Those kinds of things, especially before we go to bed, but not right before we go to bed, or right when we go to bed, because you should do it while you're still trying to stay awake. And then when you go to sleep, you have the constructive fantasy. So let go of even the meditative process once you go to bed. But right before that, it's good to do these meditations, reflective meditation of the day, because it allows the natural state of what is called the elemental energy in our bodies to follow what is a higher state of energy called devonic energy, to create better dream cycles and to actually use this time that we think is not necessarily productive to be far more productive and to improve the quality of our sleep. So amazingly, we're kind of like nudging this devonic energy to work with us, because it will follow our thought and it will say, hey, I can get this other energy, which isn't, you know, going to help you because it's all stuck inside there, to become more organized and to synthesize itself together so that when you wake up, you're going to get a boost. You're going to feel like you really slept well, and you're going, all the senses in your bodies are going to work better. All of the information that is stored will be useful and will help create better judgment and wisdom. And the extraneous information that has been clogging things up will be gone. And the more it's gone, the younger you're going to be, the more health you're going to have, the less illness, and the less chance of an accident, because your senses are all working together, and the better chance to be co-creative. That's really important. You will be able to make your life much more meaningful just by doing this process of learning how to improve sleep and dreams. Okay, now I'll give you one or two more minutes on the reflective thing, and then I'm out of time. So if we're going to talk about improving the reflection, the first thing to be concerned about is, did you during the day notice the things that should be noticed? Many people have to start there. They may have to even ask others for some feedback, because believe it or not, in the beginning of this process, we are so unaware of ourselves that we just gloss over a large part of what's going on about us. If you get past that point, which is hopefully true, then when you reflect, try to reflect using a sense of balance. That will require that you use a thing called the sacral center. And in that process, you're trying to not chastise yourself. You're trying to look for how you can improve within your capabilities at the time. Don't try to say, well, if I only could do this, and then kind of lay a trip on yourself, that doesn't help. Instead, say, this is what I'm capable, most likely, of doing tomorrow or the next day. This is where I think I can make some improvement at this time. Don't try to think too far ahead, because if you do, you'll get into the guilt-ridden trip, or you'll fail to actually make the changes that you want to make, because they're too hard if you take too big of a bite. So try doing what I suggest, and I think that's going to improve it. You know, we're just running out of time for right now. I want to mention, some of you know, I've been on WDIS-AM radio for a long time, actually about a year and a half. And I've been live since about September sometime. But as things change, and things have changed, I'm going to be leaving that station. I'm going to be leaving that station in about 2 weeks. And after that, I'm looking to do something that maybe is a little, will get out more to a larger group of, larger number of people, and may have more help. Still working on that. When I say I, it's really we, because it's, I'm in a spiritual group. Whatever I do is always based upon what everybody else thinks. So I want you to know about that. So please listen for the next couple of weeks, this Sunday and the following one, because I'll still be doing that show, which is why life is. You know, from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. So tune in. I'd love for you to do that. Give you a chance to hear that show there. And then we'll take it to another level, we hope, soon, to kind of expand the audience, I hope. And if you happen to have a chance and you're in the metropolitan Phoenix area, come by and listen to me talk on this Monday, February 16th, about the etheric realm over at Mesa Borders Books and Music from 7 p.m. to 8:15 p.m. And I hope this has been helpful tonight. There was a lot more I really wanted to cover about sleep and dreams, but we've got the basics. And maybe, you know, sometime in the not-too-distant future, I'll do another show on this and get a little deeper into the subject. But for right now, this is certainly, I hope, clarified some ideas about the metaphysics of sleep and dreams. Until next week, this has been Niles Smith-Lauer for, you got it, Why Life Is.